Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
That's right, you're listening to Money FM 89.3, and it's now time for Market View, where we take a look at how the Singapore stock market is likely to close for the day, the biggest movers, sectors and companies to watch. But as always, a quick recap of how we started. Well, Singapore shares opened muted this morning after data for Singapore's headline and core inflation in February came in hotter than expected yesterday. Now, while closing numbers, they're still firming up. Here's what I have on the screen right now. The Straits Times Index up 1.21%. We're looking at 3,236 points. In terms of value turnover, that's 1.29 billion Sing dollars. Now, gainers outnumbered losers, 333 versus 210. Top five movers by value, we've got here UOB, DBS, OCBC, Singtel and Seatrium. Heavily traded securities included Seatrium, An International and Singtel. Now, in terms of companies to watch, we do have Lum Chang. Shares of Lum Chang down more than 10% this morning after the company revealed that its managing director, David Lum, had attended several interviews with the CPIB, the Corrupt Practices Investigation Bureau, to assist on the latest charges filed against Singapore's former Transport Minister, S. Iswaran. Now, elsewhere, from Singapore's latest factory numbers to the founder of China's battery manufacturer, CATL, pressing ahead with expansion amid slowing EV sales globally, we've got more local and international headlines. Also on deck, Donald Trump. So let's break down the headlines with James Cheo, Chief Investment Officer, Southeast Asia and India at HSBC Global Private Banking and Wealth. He joins me in the studio. James, welcome.
Oh, thank you to be here.
And congrats. I know you were recently crowned as the Asia's private banking king of LinkedIn.
Oh, I'm it's quite embarrassing for that title. But anyway, that's what the article says.
So you should be proud of it by the Asian private banker, I believe, as well, right? Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about private banking sometime later. But before we start with the SGX as usual, James, let's talk about the latest Singapore factory output numbers from the EDB. Factory output grew 3.8% year-on-year in February, extending gains from January's revised figure of 0.6% growth. I believe February's performance was better than what was expected by private sector economists. So how would you read into this? Which sectors stood out to you? How are things shaping up for this year?
Yeah, I think the factory numbers for Singapore, it's actually very strong, above consensus. And if you break down the numbers, it's largely driven by pharmaceuticals, biomed. But bear in mind, these sectors are actually extremely volatile. Well, the good news is, of course, the recovery in the global electronic cycle is picking up. And of course, with the AI boom, demands for semiconductor chips, etc. So I think Singapore is very well positioned for that upturn. And I suspect the reading might be bumpy, but we should benefit from the overall trend in the global recovery of the IT sector.
Right. And looking at the factory output numbers and also the hotter than expected February inflation print out of the country, do you expect the MAS to make any major moves when it comes to monetary policy? I believe it's expected to stand pat.
Yeah, well, I think at this stage, there's going to be more frequent communications, as we've seen from the central bank. And of course, they have more intervals to make a policy adjustment. Mm-hmm. I think they're still monitoring the data. And of course, we also have to watch what other central banks are doing, which is also a quite important input.
We'll certainly talk about the US in a bit. But going to the Singapore Exchange, how did the SGI fare so far today, James, given all the incoming data points?
Well, I think it started the day muted in some ways, but you know, it had quite a strong recovery and pickup along the day. I suspect it had to do a lot with some of the companies that specific, but also I think the stronger than expected factory output data also does kind of lift sentiment somewhat. And I think if you add the effects of, let's say, Taylor Swift on consumption, so there's a certain optimism on Singapore's economy this year.
Right. We just talked about that yesterday with David Kuo, the Smart Investor, looking at card billings as well. But let's talk about some other companies to watch. Shares of Lum Chang, James, down more than 10% this morning after the company revealed that its managing director, David Lum, had attended several interviews with the CPIB to assist on the latest charges filed against Singapore's former transport minister, S. Iswaran. Now, I know you do not comment on specific firms, but generally speaking, in the case of such events, how far can the counter recover from the initial shock? Some permanent damage, I suppose?
Well, corporate governance issue is always very hard to predict. So I think in that sense, for investors, it's very important to look at a diversified approach and not be concentrated in a single counter. So I think it's always very important to have an asset allocation strategy. It's always very important to be globally diversified in that sense.
Right. And across the region, James, the founder of China's world-beating battery manufacturer, CATL, Robin Zeng, I believe, he is pressing ahead with expansion in the face of a global slowdown in EV sales growth. Do you think it's a wise move to double down right now in what's said to be a market-driven and a very competitive market?
Well, if you take a step back, the EV market, particularly the car producers, the sellers, they are cutting prices. Margins are being compressed there. But there are certain parts of the ecosystem that are still perhaps in some ways still profitable in a sense, particularly those that provide the supply chain. Yes.
Yeah.
So batteries could be one of them. But again, I think this is a long-term team. It will play out, I think, in the years ahead. That there will be more investments. And I think the falling price of battery costs, I think that's going to be quite important, in whether it's in EV adoption or perhaps even in the manufacturing of and making electric vehicles mainstream.
If you're just tuning in, we're now in conversation with James Chiu, CIO, Southeast Asia and India at HSBC Global Private Banking and Wealth. Now, further away, James, we have the U.S. Conference Board consumer confidence numbers out of the U.S. tonight. What are you expecting on this front? How would this compare against the rest of the world, so to speak?
Yeah, well, I think the general trend for consumption for this year in US should be strong, given how strong the labor market still is. But of course, it really depends on month-on-month inflation data. We have seen a recent kind of spike in inflation data a little bit, and I think that might dampen consumer confidence a little bit. But I think by and large, we should see bumpy readings, but nevertheless, it should consumer confidence should actually improve throughout the year.
Right. And also, James, investors, they are glued this week to the latest US PC numbers, PC price index numbers due at the end of the week. That's the Fed's preferred inflation gauge. What do you think the numbers will look like? How far will investors be disappointed on the interest rate front?
Yeah, well, I think PC is important because that's the key indicator that the Fed looks at. It's a preferred inflation measure for them. It will be, I think, tricky. Could be bumpy in a sense that service inflation might perhaps still be quite sticky in the United States. So, but what's important is last week's kind of Fed's kind of communication, especially on the dot plot. They are expecting, and what they expect is that growth is going to be strong. They have expected inflation to be higher, but they have maintained that they're going to keep they will cut rates three times. They didn't change that view. So I think from that perspective, it should still be, I mean, from the Fed's perspective, they are quite determined to kind of cut rates despite a little bit of a pickup in inflation. I think the expectation is for inflation to actually start to stabilize by the middle of the year.
Right. But that being said, though, James, I know Jerome Powell has come up to indicate his resolve to lower interest rates three despite inflation in January, February, maybe coming in slightly hotter. The bigger picture is still there. But since that dot plot was out, we've got Rafael Bostic, Atlanta Fed president, coming up to say that he expects only one cut. Some officials coming up to say that perhaps we should be cautious when it comes to interest rates. Which side do you think the PC numbers will be on?
Yeah, well, for us, we still think that the Fed would cut rates three times this year, as how they say, in June, September and December. So 75 basis points altogether, 25 basis points each. So, I mean, based on the PC data, you might get bumpy readings month on month. It's hard to kind of predict. But it should start to stabilize by June. And by then, it will give greater confidence for the Fed to start to kind of lower rates in a way, gingerly, towards the second half of the year.
Right. And don't mind me asking this impromptu question, James. We've just seen how HSBC yesterday raised its year-end target for the benchmark S&P 500 to 5,400 points from its prior forecast of 5,000 points. And that's assuming a soft landing for the U.S. economy, implying about 3% upside to current levels. What is the basis behind that?
Yeah, I think we have been bullish on the US market. It's done very well on a few fronts. I think multiple expansions occurring. You've got very solid earnings growth at the same time. And also, I think ultimately what we are seeing importantly is a sort of a rotation of performance, because we've seen the tech sector doing very well, particularly the Super Sevens. But we think that as this growth broadens out, the financials, yeah. the healthcare sector, they can also do reasonably well, given that their valuations are not as stretched.
Right. And, you know, we love to end on a fun note. And let's talk about this person, Donald Trump, the gifts that continues to give. Donald Trump's business empire was supposed to be in peril like never before yesterday. It was facing a deadline to post a bond of more than $500 million in a New York fraud lawsuit. But a state appeals court slashed the amount he would have to post to $175 million. At the same time, his social media company wrapped up a 29-month-long merger process, which means that shares worth billions of US dollars on paper are now officially Trump's. So instead of becoming poorer, he's becoming richer. Twist sentence for Donald Trump, how far do you think he'll be the greatest wildcard of 2024?
Yeah, well, US elections is going to be a major market event. I think, right, of course, it's going to happen in November and we will know the winner later this year. But I think it's very important right now that the markets are not exactly pricing in any outcomes because it's still mm-hmm. very early in the race. But clearly, I think it will introduce volatility and bumps, especially as the kind of election campaign gets heated up. You might get some volatility there.
Well, either way, right now, he is one of the top 500 world's richest person. There you go. Thanks a lot, James. As always, that was James Cho, Chief Investment Officer, Southeast Asia and India at HSBC Global Private Banking and Wealth. Thank you very much for joining us on Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.